This is December 12, 1986. National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2, interviewing Helen Speier, Emily Andelman, and Marion Levant as interviewers. Okay, now we got listed on the record. We said the spelling of Campana Dota.
Do you want me to spell it again?
Sure.
C-A-M-A-D-O-H-T-A.
Okay. And Dr. Bazell?
Dr. Bazell, B-A-Z-E-L-L.
Is that something else also? We had some things we wanted to follow up, but before we do that, let me ask you, because we started out before we went on the tape, let me ask you about the needle pointing and some of your other hobbies.
I knit and I needle point. All the pillows in my house are needle pointing, and I have hangings from all the rooms if you want to see them later. I'll show them. Yeah. They're really pretty. One in the dining room of an orchestra is just beautiful. Yeah. But you don't want to stop now.
No. So when did you start doing this?
Oh, I don't know. I guess after I got married, something to do at night while we watched the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I made things for other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And pillows and pictures and that kind of stuff. And I knit for myself, my daughter-in-law, my grandchildren, knitted a couple things for friends. I did not knit what I have on.
Okay. What kind of things do you knit?
It's just sweaters. I'm working on I usually can finish a sweater in about 3 weeks, you know, depending on how much time I'm at home. And I'm working on a sweater now that I'm working on for 2 or 3 months because I'm working with 5 bobbins and 3 balls of yarn, and all I do is rip and knit and rip and knit. Driving me crazy, I'll probably never wear the sweater. But I'm determined to finish it.
Do you have any other hobbies?
I just read and knit.
Tell us about National Council of Jewish Women and your involvement with them. When did you first become involved?
I have been a member of council ever since I can remember. But I never went to a meeting and I never did anything. And then, I think I told you this last week, Marion Cabot called me one day and I didn't know her. And they were interested at that time in dividing the section into divisions. And I thought maybe it would be easier to have the various divisions.
Was she the president?
What?
Was she the president?
No. No, she was just maybe chairman or I don't even know what she was, but she was working on this division plan. And someone told her that I lived in the East End area and maybe I would know a lot of people out here. So she called and asked her if I would meet with her. So I invited her for lunch and she brought along someone else from Staten Heights who now lives in Florida and whose name I can't remember. If it comes to me, I'll give it to you. Anyhow, we talked about all the people that we both knew in this area and a triangle division. Before. That was a division that this was in. And
when was this about?
Well, it went on for a number of years, and I go back to when I was president of council. That's how I have to judge it. And before I was president from 68 to 70, I think. And I think that's when I was president. I have to look at the check. 68 to 70. And before that, I was the program vice president for a year, so that made it 67. And then I was treasurer for 3 years before that, so that was 64. And the divisions were still on in 64. So they must have been on for about 4 or 5 years, I don't know. And then they decided that that wasn't a good plan either, and then we broke up the divisions and went back to the section.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was president, it was just the section. When I was treasurer, it was division.
Mm-hmm. What kind of projects were you doing when you were president? Was the council doing?
We started the oral history project. Well, we actually hadn't started it formally, but we were talking about it and getting into it. It was really Frida Shapiro. Maybe it started with Frida, but we got more into it when I was president. Marsha Furman was really working on it. And
whose idea was it? And how did the idea originate?
I don't really know whose idea it was, whether it came out of a committee or whether it was something that Marsha thought up.
Mm-hmm.
But they contacted the professor at the University of Pittsburgh. You know, he was one of the authors of By Myself on the Book. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he was, I remember really getting off. And we worked very hard on that. And then, of course, we had Head Start. And we were working in the schools with the preschool children. And of course, we had the thrift shop, and that was giving us a lot of problems at that time.
In what way?
In, with the volunteers and getting people down there to work.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we still had the Angel Ball,
mm-hmm.
which has been taken over by the stay-at-home ball.
Mm-hmm.
And
how was the Angel Ball? What was this?
The idea of the Angel Ball, of course, is to raise money. And actually, it was like the debutante ball. The parents had to give a minimum of $100.
Mm-hmm.
And their senior daughters could be in the ball. But they had to put in so much time in one of our projects, and most of it was at the thrift shop. They had to put in, I forget how many hours, 50 hours or something. And it was a wonderful affair, but who made the money? The hotel, the orchestra. And we decided then that it's time to go to something else. And we had heard about the stay-at-home ball from one of the other sections and decided to try it. We did, and it's been most successful.
So how long did you have the Angel Ball for? Up until that one?
Well, the Angel Ball went on even before I was active in council, so
mm-hmm.
I don't really know when it started. I'm sure there are records that say, and I could find out, but I don't know. But it went on until about 1968.
Mm-hmm. And then the stay-at-home ball. And this one is, tell for the record, what's the stay-at-home ball?
Well, the stay-at-home ball, our first ball, what we did, Jean Dickman
mm-hmm.
wrote a poem, and we bought paperback book covers for paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And in this poem, she wrote beautifully all about all our projects, and we asked you to please stay home and read a book on March 13th, and the money you would spend for your dress and your shoes and your babysitter, could you send that to us? And this would help support our many causes.
Mm-hmm.
And the money just came rolling in, and it's every year, I don't know where the girls get such marvelous gimmicks, but every year they get a a gimmick better than the one before, and we've had some very clever ones, but I think the best gimmick we ever had was 1 year, and, you know, you're going to pin me down to date, and I don't remember, but we gave freshly baked challenge. And we, in the poem, we asked the people to break bread with us. And we were there, the Anakin house where we packaged them. We got the bread from Silverberg, and we had to make them in small layers. And really, some of them were still warm as we were packing them. The post office was most cooperative. And the way it worked out, everybody got that loaf of bread on Shop Friday on Shop, and it was just, the money just flowed in after that. We've had some other, you know, interesting and good gimmicks. And so that was our big fundraising. And
let's go back to Historic for a minute. In what way was council involved with Historic? In what way was council involved with Head Start?
Oh, we had volunteers going into the school and helping the teachers, children, and what they do now is take them on trips, you know. Some of them, you know, we gave them a banana, they ate the banana with the skin, they didn't know. And we were up the hill in some of those schools. Then there was a dramatic group, too, that went to was it the Wild School? What was the first name of that? That was down in the Hill District 2. That was more uptown, I think, and they had a group of volunteers there. They were doing little play lessons, you know, educational play lessons for the kids. And I don't know, we always had our resolutions and our bylaws and our writing to senators and trying to get bills passed and, regular stuff that we do now, and we do it on a larger scale.
And who were some of your officers?
Romana Cavalier was the vice president, Marsha Sherman was the vice president, Rachel Porter was the program, Evelyn Markley was treasurer,
what other organizations have you been active in, other than those you belong to?
I would say the only one that I really was real active in, other than council, was Temple Center. And I also belong to City of Hope. Now it's a men's organization, and back then it was a ladies' organization. As a matter of fact, there were two chapters. One was the City of Hope, and one was City of Hope Medical Center AIDS, which was a younger group, which was what I was in. And I was active in that because I was president and went to the conventions and what have you. And all we really did was raise money for the hospital. And then, of course, Sisterhood, I was very involved. And I was president of Sisterhood, and my husband was being president of Sisterhood was it was a wonderful experience because my husband was active in the Brotherhood and in the congregation at the same time. And it seemed that our whole social life revolved around the temple. And sometimes I sit here alone and I think and I say to myself, what did we talk about besides the temple? Because we were there so many days a week, there was always something going on, and we were always working on something. But as I look back on it, it was just a wonderful thing because we did it together, you know. And
what kind of projects were worked on?
We had bazaars, and we had adult education, and we had brunches and dinners and lunches. You would go on to Temple Sinai, you spend your life in the kitchen. And and Nick Cook in your bank, we had a project called Freezer Pleasers,
mm-hmm.
where we just made all kinds of things, soup, noodles and kasha, blintzes, kishki, all that stuff, and we had these freezers, and we would just freeze them and sell them to the public. And everybody knew about them, because they were familiar with all, you know, a lot of our dinners were open, or we invited guests, and they were familiar with the, and we had some wonderful cooks there. We call Mama Jacobson, who's now gone. That was from, Mrs. Jacobson was from the Wholesale Meat Supply. Her kids were all active there. But it was just wonderful. You know, we put on shows and the things that they do. But we wouldn't think of not going to services. I mean, we went every Friday night without fail.
What size crab was it?
Good crab, then. Because it was social, we broke up, we always went out for coffee and cake afterwards. It was a social meeting, you
mm-hmm.
know, it was like calling your friends and going out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not like that.
Are you still active in the sisterhood?
Not active. I support them.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get to a board meeting once in a while, I go, but I don't go as often as I should. Although I love our rabbi so much, I feel that I should go more. And I started to go more on Friday night when I'm not too tired after the kids leave after dinner. I go,
but
I'm really not active.
Your family comes over on Friday night?
Well, no, tonight I'm going there. But I try to have on Friday night. Anyway, I usually have them sometime in the middle of the week, but that's usually definite.
Tell me about Highland Park and East End area, if you could think about perhaps how it's changed or evolved over the years that you've been here.
Well, actually, the area that I'm living in hasn't changed too drastically.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, at least this part, when from Stanton Avenue all the way up to the park,
mm-hmm.
it has remained very stable, and it's still a very stable, good neighborhood. We had a few blacks living on Bryan Street, and nice kids, you know, and they would come and play with my kids, but just a few. I mean, there weren't any even to talk about. But now, if you see from Stanton Avenue down,
mm-hmm.
it's just all black and just all changed tremendously. And I'm concerned about it because I ride past there every day. And I don't see a white kid there. There's got to be some white kids going to Peabody, but I never see them. So, it really disturbs me because I don't know what's going to happen. My oldest grandchild is just going to go to all day kindergarten, but I'm worried. But the neighborhood itself, the only
yeah.
thing that has changed possibly, now there have been substitutions. We've had a lot of little store, family type grocery stores, butcher shops,
mm-hmm.
and most of those have gone. Kronzik is still the butcher. He's been here for years on Bryan Street. That's the kosher butcher, and he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to deal with a place on Mellon Street, the Plotkins, because I loved a small family type store, because I could be in the middle of baking something or making something, and I'm out of something, and I'd call and I'd say, I'm right in the middle of making this jello mold or baking this cake, and I don't have any whatever, and he would send it up, and I missed that. And now I stand in line with John Eagle. But there was, it's a giant eagle that stands here now. It used to be a Kroger.
Mm-hmm.
So giant eagle took it over, and now it's not even giant eagle. It goes by giant eagle name, but it's privately owned, and it's like a franchise, like I guess, mm-hmm. like the Foodlands are.
That's the, which giant eagle?
That's the first one you hit down here on Highland and Margretta.
Mm-hmm. What about East Liberty? What was it like in the
30s? It was wonderful. We walked East Liberty, there was French's restaurants, there was Anthem, there was, Mansman's was a wonderful store. There were
mm-hmm.
a lot of little shops there.
Mm-hmm.
And you could spend a Saturday afternoon just strolling, you know. It
mm-hmm.
was just, it was a beautiful area. Then they put in that circle, and there's no more East Liberty. Now they're trying to build it up again, but I don't know if they will ever succeed. There were shoe stores and dress shops, and now the thing is the Lucas have been there all these hundreds of years, and they're still there in their same spot in the Highland Building.
Mm-hmm. What kind of store?
That's a nice ladies' dress shop.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very nice clientele. I don't know whether they still do or not, because it's hard to park down there, and I wouldn't go. We used to walk all the way down Broad Street to the Carnegie Library. That was all the way down Broad Frankstown. But, you know, in those days we walked, and there was the Station Street hot dogs. They have
mm-hmm.
a hot dog place now, but it's not the same. The one
mm-hmm.
that we went to was owned by the Drosnas family. And if you ever went out on a date, or if you ever wanted to see everybody, wherever you were, you ended up at Station Street and
mm-hmm.
got your hot dogs and stuff. And then we used to, after a date, after a movie, we'd come down here to Highland Avenue, near Penn, to Gammon's. And now there's another restaurant there. I don't know. It's mostly for black. It says that. But everybody knew Gammon's.
That's what we do. What was dating like when you were a young girl? Well, not so young a girl.
I guess you met in school, or I'm trying to think.
Where would you go on dates?
One time you went out in crowds. You
mm-hmm.
hardly ever went out singly. You know, just
mm-hmm.
A fella and a girl. But we did that too, but I recall that mostly in college. And I guess I didn't date that much when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But girls did go out, but it was always parties and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And where would you go on a date?
Did you ever
go to parties? Yeah.
And if you went to the movies in East Liberty, because there were all these movies there,
mm-hmm.
they had the Camerafin and the Regent and the Liberty, and I don't know what else, but there were a bunch of movies in East Liberty, and then you'd
mm-hmm.
go out to eat afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went downtown, it was the same thing. There was a restaurant that they're all so awful, I can't remember anyway. That everybody went to for pancakes and waffles, you know, after
mm-hmm.
moving, that's where you saw everybody in that
room.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Tom. No, not Richard. No, this was up in where the park building is now. Richard's was for delicatessen stuff.
Well, so you what year did you graduate college?
1935.
So from 35, then you worked for
I graduated in 35, And then I went to business training college. And I don't remember whether that was a year or so many months, whatever it was. And then I got a job at Simon Steele Manufacturing Company. And I worked there, and then I had to quit because I couldn't stand it. It was anti-Semitic. They did not know I was Jewish. My maiden name was Bart, and that told them nothing. And I just remember that I worked there. I forget when I started to work, but then when Rosh Hashanah came, I said I wouldn't be in for the Jewish holidays. And that's when they knew that I was Jewish. And then they started, and the day I came back after the holidays, they started to call me Becky and Sadie and Rebecca. And it was awful. That was the time that Landon was running for president with Roosevelt. And one day the big boss called me up, and there were a lot of foremen and workers there. It was an old office with one of those heated stoves, and the men from the factory would come in and sit down. And I found they would keep asking me questions, you know, about my religion. And I kept finding that what I was doing was defending my Judaism. And I think, this is not what they're paying me for, you know. So I got real upset. And then the big boss called me into his office one day, and I went in, and he said, sit down. I want to know why all you goddamn Jews are working for Roosevelt. And I said, well, in the first place, all the Jews aren't goddamn. And in the second place, I'm not sure that they're all voting for Roosevelt. And in the third place, I don't know what that has to do with my job. I'm not here to defend the Jews, or to defend the Christians, or to defend anyone. I think I'm doing a good job. And he knows, he's an old man, Mr. Jackson, and he kind of let me go. I came home and I thought about it for a while. And so then I went to the man who hired me. And I quit. And I said, I can't work here any longer because I don't think it's right for you to pay me for defending my Judaism. That isn't what you hired me for, and I find that that's all that I'm doing. So I think that I better leave. So he begged me not to quit. He said, I didn't ask you what your religion was, and I said, I know, but I can't stand it. So I left. And he called me at home and asked me to come back, and that I would be happier when I came back. And my mother said I had to go because if he was nice enough to call me, then I should go. So when I came back, it was very, very embarrassing. Because I came in and I was called in upstairs to the boss's office, and everybody who had ever said anything to me about my Judaism were called in to apologize to me. And then I felt worse. I felt that, you know, that they'd just forgotten the whole thing. But they didn't. So I stayed 3 weeks, and then I said that I had to. I left. And from there I went and I worked at Reliance Steel in the Keysport, which I didn't like. And I was there for about a year or two. And then I got a job with J. Halpern Company. They were making toys and fireworks and that kind of thing. And I worked for them for a number of years. And then I got a job with the Nancy Spring. That's where I went, that's where I left to get married.
Were you living alone then?
Oh, sure. In those days, the nice girls always lived at home. Not nice girls got apartments. I lived at home.
What was Pittsburgh like in general during the Depression?
It was difficult, and you know, and it was mucky and dirty and without a lot of people were unemployed. It was very difficult, but my father had a restaurant, and we always seemed to, we were never rich, never, but we always seemed to, you know, kind of have a special issue, I guess, with my friends and family. And it didn't suffer too much. It was hard going to school, and my brother went to college, and I went to college, and my sister Edith went to college, and then my younger sister went for, I don't know whether Ethel went for a year or 2 years, and she just dropped out because she didn't work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too difficult.
Did your parents pay for college, or did
you? Yeah. It was expensive for them, but we paid $300 a year. $150 a semester when we went to college. Quite a difference.
Yes.
Yes. But I guess under the circumstances, the $150 and the $300 is a lot of money too.
Mm-hmm.
And not too many of our friends went away to school.
Mm-hmm.
If you lived in Pittsburgh, you went to school in Pittsburgh. They lived elsewhere, yeah. But then the kids started to come in when the cathedral was finished. But we had a lot.